Okay, so thank you for coming, and we will try to connect. Rav Hirsch actually, in a couple of his commentaries, connects a little bit Parshas Tzav, which traditionally is always Shabbos. I got all the Shabbos before Pesach. Maybe we'll try to connect a little bit to the Seder night as well. Rav Hirsch begins by speaking about the fact that a karban, the halachas of a karban, have to be only brought during the day. Karbanos, generally speaking, are only brought during the day. And it begins, Torah HaKarbanos Misayemes, it ends, Bamilim, Zos HaTorah Lo'ola Lamincha Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe Bar Sinai B'yom Tzavoso Es Bnei Yisrael L'hakrev Es Karbanem L'Hashem B'mi Bar Sinai. That's Perek Zion, Lamed Zion Lamaches. That's sort of the end of this section here. It's on page 306, the very end of this. B'yom Tzavoso. The Gemara has a comment on this. Ha'alacha Mavlita Et Hazman Shi Yisrael Kibl Bo'os Mitzvah HaKarbanos. The Torah is highlighting the time that the Jewish people were commanded about this, namely by day. Hayazet Yom Tzavoso. V'hem Tzavu Bayom. Rav Hirsch sees a tremendous message in the fact that the Jewish people were commanded about this by Yom, during the day. What's the significance? Or you want to just give a chumash? What's Bayom? He says, HaTorah Mavdila Bein Nevuas Moshe Shekivel HaSatorah Lebein Nevuas Shar Kol Nevi Yisrael Pe'al Pe'ah Adar Bo Marvelo B'chidos. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu was able to get his prophecy from God when he was awake during the daylight, but all other prophets had to be at night. Ki Hashem Lo Di Moshe Be'emzos Dimdu Mechalom. God didn't speak to Moshe like in a dream at night. Lo B'chalom Adar Bo Elo Diber Dvar Hashem Shnimsa L'Moshe Yigil L'Sichla HaBahir Shel Adam Er. The word of God that got to Moshe Rabbeinu came to a person who was clear of sound mind and awake. He was an awake, alert, totally conscious person. Va'af Moshe, Maser es Dvar Hashem l'da'atam atzlula shalom Hashem erim. Moshe also gave over the word of God to the clear knowledge of men who were awake. Ve'kach omeres ha'halacha. And similarly, the halacha states, B'deya tzlula, with a clear mind, clear knowledge, a soundly working brain, uve'iranut melea, completely awake, yakriv ha'adam es karbano la'Hashem. The idea of karbanos, which is primarily the primary vehicle of man serving God at a time when the Beis HaMikdash is built, it's through the karbanos primarily that we serve God. This only had to be done during the day, and Rav Hirsch sees a tremendous lesson and message in the fact that a karban can only be brought during the day, when a person is clear, when a person is awake, when the sun is shining, when things are, when he's of strong mind and body. He says, "Bebehirus machshava," with clarity of thought, "v'toch chofesh bechira," with total free will and free choice, "yakdish es atzmo l'kiyam haTorah." He views this as a much greater idea that a Jew's commitment to God and to serving God should be done out of total clear choice. It's a total rational choice. It's one that man makes of with all of his faculties being clear, not out of any confusion or you know desperation of any sort. That's the Medrash and Gemara Megillah.
Sorry. So what's the correlation between Moshe getting Nevuah all day and
so he's just
time and the others at night and then
no. See, right. So what about the other prophets? Good question. So what he's saying that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Nosan HaTorah, so he had this connection to God, and there's, no one should think that Moshe was fooled into it. He wasn't like fooled. It was like it was a hazy dream in the night. He didn't know what was going on. He was asleep. No, Moshe Rabbeinu was totally clear. And when Moshe Rabbeinu gave over the Torah to the rest of the Jewish people, they were also totally clear. And that's what he's trying to say. It's not totally clear. It's actually not totally clear what he's referring to. Here you go, Joel. It's actually not here, Joel. You can sit right here. That's great also. It's actually not totally clear what Hirsch is referring to, but Lo b'knias halayla yachush ha'yudi es koach hakel. not through the kniya means like humility, but you know, he really means like a desperation. At night, when things are clouded and confused, does Judaism believe that that's the optimal time for a Jew to connect to God? Ela b'machshav to atzlula, during the day, when your mind is clear, ba'asiyaso hayotzeres hakoveshes olamos, when a person is active and he's conquering the world, b'komasa askufa, he's standing tall, b'chaye hayom, during the day, dafka be'elu hu zocha l'kirvas Hashem. Judaism believes in closeness to God primarily not through confusion and darkness and pain and suffering. When you're vulnerable, that's when you connect to God. No. Rav Hirsch is stressing with his constituents and with us that closeness to God is a rational thing. It's to be done with all of your faculties when you're awake, when you are clear, when the sun is shining, and you make a very clear choice that a person wants to serve God. Or rucho habihira, koach rutzono achofshi, asiyato ayotzeret ishiyuto achofshit, hazokevet ekomata b'chaye hayom, b'chesed habori nitna lo kol eila. Ki akel hayachid chalak lo min hashefa ha'ein sofi shel rucho, meritzono achofshi hakadosh, mikoach asiyaso ha'sholetes ba'olam. Kach hela osa me'al l'shibur ha'olam ha'fizi, zaka v'skomaso v'hishlaroso ala olam l'man yavod bo'as Hashem. God gave man the ability to conquer. He's above nature. And he has the mental faculty to be able to serve him through clarity and through strength and through understanding. Just by a person going through his regular day, when he goes to work, right? That is already a fulfillment of God's, of Hashem's will. Hayom, the daylight. Hakaratz ha'elilit. He says, for the non-Jews, for heavens, he says, the day is a day for fighting with God. Hu ma'avak b'nei tumasam kol ha'alim. I don't totally exactly know what he's referring to there, but he says by the heaven gods, daylight is the time to fight with the gods. Ve'ilu yomo shel ha'yehudi, but the daylight of a Jew, hu avodas Hashem, that's serving God. Through our regular daily interactions, as I think what he maybe means to say is that a lot of this worldly activities for the nations of the world, those are not religious activities. Those go fly in the face of religious activities. But we believe no. The daylight when you're going to work, when you're eating, when you're interacting with other people, that's actually when you serve God. That's the strength of mind and strength of character. It's God's not hiding. There's nothing. He's not hiding in the world. He's out there waiting for us to serve him during the clarity of the daylight. Lefikach, and therefore he says, you know that generally speaking in Judaism, we're all trained to think that the day follows the night. Right? Jewish day, the calendar day, is day follows night. Not in Beis HaMikdash. When it comes to Beis HaMikdash, the night follows the day. And the place where you serve God is when you slaughter a carbon only during the day, and then you burn that carbon at night, or you eat it at night. You finish it off in the Vavikts right here. Lefikach is a chumash. I thought there was a chumash in here. Wow. There was a chumash somewhere. Lefikach, b'migdash, ein hayom holech achar alayla. In Beis HaMikdash, the day does not follow the night. Ela halayla holech achar hayom. The night follows the day. Ki alayla, because night hamisamel is dumiyas hamaves. The night, which symbolizes the quietness of death, lo yorid acharav gamas hayom, ela hayom hamisam el chayim shel kivas Hashem. The day that symbolizes a life that's alive with the brightness of closeness to God, yale lav gamas halayla. That impacts even the following night. Lo hateva hafizi mitaveich. Mitaveich means like negotiates. It's not the physical nature that negotiates between Hayudi and Olkav that we need to negotiate between man and God. Ki ha'adam ha'yudi hu l'malam en ha'teva ha'fizi. A Jewish person is above nature. V'ishi yuso omedes b'mei sharin. And his personality stands directly in front of God. Bamidbar shebo ein lo la'adam el'atma v'ishi yuso. In a desert where a person has nothing. Sham niskayav Hashem li'Yisrael v'karas imas bris tarasso. That's where God came to the Jewish people and entered into a covenant with them. You don't need anything else to serve God. You just need yourself. This is an idea that Rav Hirsch talks about all the time. It's all in our hands. In the daylight, Rav Hirsch here is trying to stress to his constituents that Judaism, for us, it's not a mystical, convoluted, confused kind of thing. That it's like a mysterious kind of thing that we don't understand. It's straight up. It's straight up. It's clear. God came to the Jewish people in the desert. You don't need anything else. It's about you. It's about God. It's a clear, rational decision. And he sees an allusion to this in the fact that you could only bring karbanos during the day. Daylight. We don't believe in this mysterious, night where, voodoo and strange kind of service. It's all clear. It's all rational. It's of sound mind and body. Bamidbar shebo ein adam yochal la'akav l'Hashem el ha'atzmo v'yishus sham tziyo v'sham la'akav lo karbanos. Ki ha'Torah mechayeves es ha'yishus ha'chofshus. The Torah obligates man's free will. Am shabedes l'Hashem es machshavto ritzono v'asiyosa. Va'karban mispakish min ha'yishus ha'chofshus. The carbon is requested of man while he's awake and in full, free choice, control of all of his faculties. Hamshabedes l'Hashem es machshavta, ritzonav asiyasa, that man should submit to God, his thoughts, his desires, and his actions. And that's why Rav Hirsch says, Zos hatara la'olah la'minchav la'chatas v'la'asham v'la'milun z'ach shalem, asher tiva Hashem es Moshe, b'ha'ay Sinai, b'yom tavos es b'nei Yisrael, la'akiv es karbonim l'Hashem b'midbar Sinai. Oh, he's going to talk about that. Excellent, excellent. Why is Karban Pesach different? He's going to talk about that in a minute. Very, very good. Again, first of all, Joel, the Karban Pesach was brought during the day, but was eaten at night. And he's going to talk about that, the difference, in one moment. But it is interesting that the Yetzias Mitzrayim happened in the middle of the night. And then it was the first day, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, that they left. That they sort of, the final step in becoming a nation happened at night, and the Karban Pesach was eaten at night. And then the next day, they came out. I mean, certainly, the whole, right, he's actually going to, let's wait till he talks about it. Let's see, and we could probably tie it together then. Now, before we get to that, he goes off on a little aside about two mitzvos that the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohanim had to perform. Well, this mitzvah, particularly of the Kohen Gadol. Well, let's see. So the parasha of Tzav begins with two mitzvos, something called the Trumas Hadeshen and the Trumas Hadeshen. And the Hotzaas Hadeshen. Two things. Take a look in the Pesukim. So the Kohen had to wear this Mido Bad. Herbie, kind of can sit right here. Great. Here with Herbie. The Kohen, V'lovash HaKohen Mido Bad, Amichvasei Bad, he wore these like white garments. V'herimis HaDeshen Shetochal HaYesh HaSolam Zech V'samo Yitzel Mizbeach. So the first act that he did in Pasuk Gimel is something called Trumas Hadeshen. What's Trumas Hadeshen? Basically, right, this doesn't have to be a Kohen Gadol, whichever Kohen was Zoche. Basically, again, there was a pile of ashes on the Mizbeach from all the Karbanos that were brought yesterday and that burnt all night on the Mizbeach. So early in the morning, the Kohen, basically the first thing he would do is he would go up to the Mizbeach, take a handful of the ashes, bring it down, and place them next to the Mizbeach. That's one. Then, Ufashadas B'Gadav, he took off those garments and wore different garments. Then he did something called Vahutziyas Hadeshen al Michutz Lamachaneh. So Rav Hirsch understands that was the Hutzaas Hadeshen, which is, he then went up to the top of the, even though it doesn't say this in the Pasuk, it's the way Rav Hirsch understands, he would go to the top of the altar and take all of the ashes and totally clean the altar of all ashes from yesterday and take that outside the Beis HaMikdash, outside Yerushalayim, and get rid of that, place it somewhere else. So two different acts. Trumas Hadeshen, which was taking one piece from yesterday, placing it next to the Mizbeach, but then totally cleaning the Mizbeach of everything else, all the rest of the ashes, and throwing them, Trumas Hadeshen, that's Hotzaas Hadeshen, that's taking it outside. So rehearse these two beautiful, very important ideas in these two in these two acts. Ach, page 2 on top. Ach, b'terem yaroch es hamarocha. The adlakasheshem is bech. Prior to the Kohen lighting the fire on the Mizbech in the morning, Alav l'kayves mitzvahs trumas hadeshen. Trumas hadeshen lo ba'al l'hachinis ha-mizbech l'tzorach avodas hayom ha-mizchadev. Says Rav Hirsch, the first act of taking a little bit of the coals from yesterday off the Mizbech and placing them next to the Mizbech, that was not done to prepare the Mizbech for today's acts. Ki hayom echadash yuchan ha-idei hotzoas hadeshen. No, the this day's activities are actually going to be prepared by the next act that he did of removing all of yesterday's ashes. That's the next pasuk, pasuk dalet. Ella, trumas hadeshen hi hasiyum ha'acharon shel avodas hayom she'avar. Trumas hadeshen is actually the finishing of yesterday's avoda. Hi atzma avoda, it itself is an avoda. V'hi cholol ha'asos rak ayidei kohen kasher. Halavash bigdei kahuna. You have to, kohen kasher had to be wearing bigdei kahuna. Kederek shenemar b'mincha. Yemenu b'kum tso. Kenem akan v'hem sadeshen. Ki hakohen yarem b'machta with a shovel. Shir molei kum tso me'ofer srefas kabaras yom esmo. V'samolei tam mizbech b'kivun mizrach. You placed it on the east side of the mizbech b'tzad ha-kevesh next to the ramp. V'samo b'nachas v'samo kulo v'samo shalo yifazer. It's a gemara in Yuma, gemara in Tamin, and Tumura. Kederach shekometz amincha he has kar lechalal amincha gam kein hakometz shel trumas hadeshen hu maskir es hahakrovos shenasu esmo l'chavod Hashem v'torasa. Says Rav Hirsch, the goal of this was to remind all the Kohanim about the service that they did yesterday. Why was it significant to remind the Kohanim of the service they did yesterday? So take a look at what he says. Hadeshen yusam amizrach ki hu ba lahazkir la'uma. It's there to remind the nation. Bishlav ha-ma'avar la'avodas hayom ha-mizchadesh. While you are embarking on the dawn of a new day, on serving God today. Ein hayom ha-chadash mevi tafkidim chadashim. Don't think that the new day brings for a person brand new goals, brand new activities in Judaism, in serving God. Ki atafkir amutal aleinu hayom, says of Hirsch. Now again, someone can misunderstand this, but listen to the wisdom and the beauty of what he says. Ki atafkir amutal aleinu hayom, says of Hirsch. You and I, we woke up this morning, probably a couple of minutes ago, maybe already an hour ago. Ki atafkir amutal aleinu hayom, says of Hirsch. The job that's placed upon the Jew today, hu atafkir shekvar hutal aleinu esmol, is the exact same job that we had yesterday. The same job. Acharon hanechadim b'Yisrael, the last grandson of the Jewish people, omeid b'makom shekvar amad bo aviv harishon. His great, the first Jew and the last Jew have exactly the same job in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chol yom mosif es chumaso, and every day adds its contribution, b'miloy hatafkid ha'echad, Hamutal al kol doros beis Yaakov. Kol yom yikabel es yiudo miyad yom esmo. Every day takes its goals, its aims from yesterday. Now, this is interesting. So there's a parent in DRS. His name is Paul Packer, and he's very, very close friends with Mariano Rivera, the former closer of the Yankees. So he was telling me yesterday, he was in my office 2 days ago, telling me about what a humble guy Mariano Rivera is, an incredibly humble person, and a very religious man. He's now spending all of his time building a church and a learning center for his wife, who's a pastor. He's very religious. So he said one time they were together and with a bunch of people. I went out for lunch, so Mariano said to the group of someone, you can ask me any question you want, ask me any question you want. So he said to him, why did you always only have one pitch, the cutter? You only have one pitch. Most pitches, you have a fastball and a slider and a curveball, a changeup. Why is it that you stuck with the one pitch? So he looked at them like they were crazy. He said, this thing was a gift from God. I have no idea how I developed it. It was a gift from... And a person's job in this world is to find out what your role is, what is your talent, what is your ability, what does God want from you, and stick with that thing. You don't have to look in the world for, I have to do that and then change and then do... If you find your one thing that you're good at and that you think God gave you your blessing and your job and your tafkid, find it and stick with it. And that's what he thinks that's what God wants from people. Rav Hershier is saying that a person doesn't have to think that every day God wants him something different. Every day he wants him to find a new way, to find a new... If you serve God, you go to Shacharis at the same minyan every single day. You don't have to okay, now I need a new minyan. I got to find a new shul. No, you go to the same minyan, you have your same daf yomi shir every morning, whatever, you have your same seder. God wants us to be improving. He wants us to try to grow. He's going to talk about that in a minute. But the point is that if you did what you're supposed to do, you don't have to look for new things. And Rav Hirsch saw an allusion to this in taking the ashes off the carbon from yesterday and placing it next to the mizbeach. It's the same job. You have one job, right? You have one job, and that's to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's to do the same thing every day. The person who does, right? My father, they joked about my father last night, and my nephew made a siyum hashas. They joked about my father's consistency. My father's had the same tuna fish sandwich for lunch for the last 35 years. consistency, right? He learns daf yomi, halacha yomi, mishnah yomi, the same schedule every morning. That's not a bad thing. Not a bad thing to do the same minyan. You go to minyan. It's God wants the same thing from us, and Rabbi Mordechai Willig, my Rabbi Mordechai Willig, spoke on Sunday morning in the neighborhood, this past Sunday morning, a couple of places, and he also stressed about the Seder. He stressed about the Seder the same thing. He said when he grew up, his father at the Seder every year said the same stories. And all the kids loved hearing the stories and waited to hear the same stories from the father. He says, he felt you don't have to come up with new fancy ideas. Everybody's always looking for new events. He said, he felt, his Seder ends at a certain time and you have to end before Chatzos, whatever, and the Haggadah and the four Kosos. He said he doesn't feel like, the people should come in with piles and piles of books of new ideas, and they find a new thing, a new idea. Everything's got to be new. No, it's the old time religion. He felt that the kids will like hearing the same tunes, the same stories, and in that sense, right? Then the famous story of Yaakov Kamenetsky on the plane. We always say that we have respect for our elders because they're two generations closer to Har Sinai. So this Rav Hirsch sees an allusion to this in the Trumas Hadeshim, that a person doesn't feel like things have to change. By the same token, we do clear off the Mizbeach of everything from yesterday. We have to start fresh. So he talks about that as well. But first, one more word about this. Nimtes Omer Trumas Hadeshim Maskira Le'ed The Trumas Hadeshen reminds the nation of all of their past service of God. Right, and that's why there's still Me'ila. Trumas Hadeshen, Joel, has a different halacha than any other act. Most acts in the Beis HaMikdash, once you've done the act, there's no more Me'ila. It's done. The mitzvah is over. Trumas Hadeshen is the only case where after you've already done the act, it still has Me'ila because it's ongoing. Look what he says so beautifully. This, I think, is a reference to Pesach also. Ilu Hadeshen gam la'acha shehura munach kimitzvah. So even after you did the mitzvah, it's already been placed next to the mizbeach and you did the mitzvah. Odenu kadosh v'yesh bo mishum Me'ila. It's still holy and you still violate Me'ila if you benefit from it. That's stealing from the base of Me'ila. Shekem b'yisodo shel davar Yud, the goal of Trumas Hadashin, lo nistayim im hanachaso. The goal is not finished by placing it. Kihu ba lahazkir es avar b'chal ha'asid. The goal of the Trumas Hadashin is to remind you of the past throughout all of the days of the present. In other words, it's there to remind you of what you did yesterday throughout your whole present today, to remember your roots, to remember where you came from, to remember your past. And there's a strong, so therefore, it's actually still working all day long. It's still working while it's sitting there. It's reminding you of your past. And therefore, the Kedusha remains. But look what he says. Chumas adeshen posachas v'savodas yom chadash. Agav zechiras avodas yom she'avar. The chumas adeshen makes you open up your day today, remembering yesterday, remembering the avoda that you did yesterday, and to give a person strength. The fact, hey, you did it yesterday, you can do it today. You woke up for minyan yesterday, you can do it today. You know, the Jewish people, you know, the whole Pesach Seder is remembering from the past. But not just remembering it and reliving it. It's that past should play a role in our present. So that's Trumas Hadeshen, to relive the story, to give strength and chios and chizuk to what we're doing today, to our Judaism of today, to recreate and to relive the experiences of yesterday. So that's the idea of Trumas Hadeshen, which I think has tremendous connection to what we're going to do Pesach night, to relive and recreate. But, he says, but the ilu hotzas Hadeshen. That's Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel is remembering and reliving yesterday. But Pasuk Dalet says, everything else from yesterday you have to clear away totally. Except for that one little scoop. Everything else you had to totally clean off the Mizbeach. Which is the opposite message, Herbie. The opposite message. Look what he says. Ve'ilu hotzatesh en mabia le'umase. It states, expresses, thank you, le'umase. By contrast to this, shatafkid ayudi mischadesh b'chol yom. By the same token, our job every single day starts totally fresh, starts totally from zero. And a person cannot rely on that which he did yesterday to carry him through to today. B'mesirut maleya v'ra'anana. We can't rely on our laurels from yesterday. We can't rely on yesterday's accomplishments. The same energy and effort that we needed yesterday to accomplish serving God yesterday, we need to have those same kochos and that same energy and that same focus and that same drive today. We can't rely on that which we accomplished yesterday to assume that that's going to just carry us through till today. Avoda shenasasa esmol al tetzamtzem es pilusenu hayom. That can't limit us today. Zichron amaisim shenasu kvar olu lahachanik, to stifle, to literally to strangle. Kol yozma lamaasim chadashim. Remembering what we did yesterday might strangle us from doing our new actions today. Oylo lezeh shelibo moli sipok al maisav b'avar. Woe is to the person whose heart is filled with satisfaction and pride over his accomplishments from yesterday. She'eno ovedes avodas kol yom biyomo. He doesn't wake up every morning with a renewed sense of vigor and vitality to serve God with all of his kochos and all of his abilities today. Kilo hayom ze hayom arishon shel avodas chayav. As if today was the first day that you're serving God. V'hotzias adeshen. Remove all the ashes from yesterday. Yesh laharchik min hamizbeach es kol akevut avodat yom etmo. Kach taskil avodas hayom echadosh al yisod chadosh betachlis. A brand new foundation. Al pizet tispar halacha sheha isuk b'avodas yom esmo. That's why you had to use old garments. Let us not take pride in the actions that have already been done in the past. Not sure. Should have brought my English edition.
One detail, Rabbi. They did it with comments on the deshin initially, just like they did with the korban minhag.
It was with a shovel, but it means just a piece. Yeah, with a shovel. Ah. Now, let's get back to what I was talking with Joel about before about the korban pesach. Here in the next piece, he talks about that. In the next piece, Rav Hirsch highlights the halacha that, and it's actually learned out from the pasuk. Let's read the pasuk inside. I always like to try it where we can. Right? It's actually pasuk hey, the very next pasuk. The fire had to be burning all day. I don't want to get into the details of how the Medrash and the Gemara learns this out, but suffice it to say, gentlemen, the Medrash learns out from this pasuk that all korbanos had to be after the korban tamid shel shachar and before the korban tamid shel bein harbayim. Now, where you see that in the pasuk is complicated. It's complicated, but I'll ask you to trust me. I'm good on my word. Actually, Rav Hirsch himself mentions it. It's not easy to figure out how you see that in the pasuk. I mean, the pasuk says, "Va'arach aleha ha'ola v'hiktir aleha chel v'ashlamim." So the Gemara and the Midrashim learn out from this that all karbanos had to be between the karban tamid shel shachar, which is a public karban ola, shel tzibur, the tamid shel shachar, and the tamid shel bein arbayim. And Rav Hirsch beautifully sees an allusion to this, that whatever personal service you or I engage in during the day, whatever personal acts of serving God that you and I engage in during the day, all of those acts, we are supposed to see those acts in the context of national service of God. We're not supposed to just be doing our own thing, not cognizant and conscious of the service that all the Jewish people have to serve God. There is room for individuality and some creativity, but bichlal, begadol, we have to view our service as part of a national service. And we always have to have one eye on the nation. It's not enough for us to just say, you know, I'll just do my little corner, my little service, and not be conscious of the service that all Jews everywhere are engaging in. That's not enough. And let's see the way he says it. Very, very beautifully, poetically, kidarko. Emor me'ata, korban ha-tamid poseach u'mesayim es-avodos ha-mizbeach. The korban tamid, and Joel, the only exception to that is the korban pesach. That's what korban pesach, and look at what he's going to say about that. Again, I'll ask you to help me with that. Emor me'ata, korban ha-tamid poseach u'mesayim es-avodos ha-mizbeach. The korban tamid begins and ends each daily service on the mizbeach. V'chol shar ha-karbanos, af shalmei ha-yochid, Mishtalvim, they fit in, shlav. They fit in bein shnei atmidim. V'kach, kol avodos ha-mizbeach, hi b'b'chinas karban le'umi echad, ha-nimshach v'holech kol ayom. Rav Hirsch says, to Rav Hirsch, this tells him that all the sacrifices of the mizbeach, even the karbanos yachid, even the individual, should be viewed by the people as one collective service of God that begins with the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar and the Karban Tamid Shel, and ends with the Karban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Again, let me read you that sentence again. Olas Tamid Shel Tzibor. Right, the next sentence, I'm sorry. Olas Tamid Shel Tzibor Mevates Es Kiddush HaMaisim Shel HaUma. The Olas Tamid of the Tzibor signifies the sanctified actions of the nation, she'ein lo hefsek olamis, that never end. He ayisod shall kol maskil u'mistayim bo. Now it's interesting, right? You know, we're so trained to the fact that we have a Jewish neighborhood that has like 50 shuls, right? You don't like the shul that opened up 2 blocks from you, you open up your own shul 1 block from you. That's the religion that we're used to, especially in our neighborhood. We've seen, right? Is people opening up, you know, little minyanim here. Everybody's got to open up their own thing. Think about it for a second. To bring a carbon, the only way you could actually serve was bringing your own carbon. Only one place in the world to bring your carbonos. Only one place. If you lived in Haifa or Tel Aviv or Gush Etzion, wherever you lived, only one place, only one shul. Only one. You couldn't like start your own Beis HaMikdash down the block because I want to be back of my own karbanos. there's a certain, and we have, and Rav Hirsch is trying to call our attention to that. We have to view our service in the context of Am Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael. We live in a time that Judaism is so bifurcated, right? You have the Hasidim, the Misnagdim, the Yeshivish, the Modern Orthodox, the Sephardim, Ashkenazim. It's so bifurcated. Rav Hirsch is saying, you have to think, when we read these parashas of Tzav, when we read these parashas, we have to remember the fact that we're all one people, there's all one service. We have to view our service in the context of everybody else. And I think it's hard for us nowadays to think in these terms. You got your own shul, your own service, you know. You have two Jews live on the same block. They never talk to each other. Yidavs and that shul, Yidavs and that, never see each other. We don't all the time necessarily view our service in the context of national service. Rav Kook is trying to remind us of this. V'chol shar b'chinas ha'klal v'aprat tluyim b'yisod zeh. Olas tamid shel tzibur v'vateis tismash v'usa shel kol yom b'yisrael. Yish lalos tamid el marom ha'ideal shel ha'torah. V'chol ha'kochos v'akishronos ha'mitsuyim b'uma. All of the abilities and the talents of the nation should be marshaled together in the service of God. That's the idea of the Karban Tamid. In this way, we'll be pleasing in front of Hashem. Ushchina tishra b'tachtonim. Uver mizgeres milo yayir azet timtza simchas hakodesh shal kol yochid b'Yisrael. Esmash mu'uta halu'umit. The national goal. Kiddush ha'maisim shal uma ola rishon hi abasis v'atachlis shal hakol. V'hikter ole achel v'ashlomim. Somehow that man's spiritual goals should be swallowed up in the goals of the nation, should be defined by the spiritual goals of the nation. However, as we said before, Yesh rak karban echad. I'm going to ask you to, again, this is all he says. He says one line about this. I'm going to ask you to help me fully decipher it. I mean, I thought about it for a while, came up with my own idea about it, but I'm happy to hear your idea. It wasn't totally clear to me what he meant. Yesh rak karban echad. There's only one sacrifice. Hakarv la'achar tamid shel erev. Now, this is really only one. There's only one karban which is brought after the Karban Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im, and that is the Karban Pesach. Hu Karban HaPesach. Says of Hirsch, why is this so? The Karban Zeh Chozeres Ha'uma Midei Shana B'Shana El Shat Leidata Halu'umit. Through this Karban, the Jewish people each year start over again. They start the whole process over again of being born as a nation. The Karban Pesach was the national sacrifice that each person brought to join the Jewish people, to actually kick off the great endeavor that was the Jewish people. So says Rav Hirsch, that's why it breaks the rules, because it's where we start the whole process over again. It's not part of the process. It's not in between the sacrifices. This goes out of the process because it's the one night a year that we actually start the whole process over again, and we rededicate and restart the Jewish people. The Karban Zeh Chozeres Ha'uma Midei Shana B'Shana El Sha'at Leidata Halu'umit. With this Karban, the whole nation each year goes back to that moment of its birth, of its national birth. Be'ema Hi Miachelas L'Sha'as HaYitziyah. With awe, the nation looks forward to that night that we left. Kol Baneha Makrivim et Pischehem Ke'echad. All of the people are makriv their Karban Pesach at one shot. V'yotzim likras oso laila. And we go out to meet that night. Bo yatzu v'yotzim tamid. That night that we left and we continuously leave. Mimavas l'chayim ome avdus l'cheiros olam. So, Joel, I think there might be an allusion here to the fact that happened at night. In other words, we became a nation at night, but then we actually went out You know, we started the next morning the service during the day. But again, the Karban Pesach is slaughtered during the day, but it's eaten at night. Rav Hirsch sees that that's the only Karban that's outside the context of national service, because that's where we actually kickstart and start again, and the whole life of the nation restarts again. And I think that there's an allusion here to Pesach night being a national night, right? Karban Pesach had to be eaten only by family, not by individuals. It had to be part of the nation. And when the Karban Pesach was brought, it was all had to be eaten in Yerushalayim, right? The whole nation had to eat it in Yerushalayim. You couldn't. And everyone went out on their roofs at night, the roofs of the old city of Yerushalayim. And people, you know, all were eating their karbanos, and it was a national event. So he says that's the only one that broke out of this rule, because of the fact that the whole our whole national service towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu got restarted. And the last piece, which I don't really have time to go into, he talks about the sacrifices, the carbon mincha, two carbon minchas. He talks about here, and you have to do this one for homework. Pasuk Hey, I'm sorry, where am I? Yeah. Perak Vav, Pasuk Tesvav, yeah. Vav Tesvav. So what does he say?
Is it carbon mincha?
No, no. When I say carbon mincha, I mean like a flower offering, right? Let's take a look inside, Joe. Let's take a look. Page 302. Right, the Baruch Shem Moshe Limor. Zeh carbon Aaron uvanav. Asher yakiv l'Hashem. Yeah, I apologize. I'm not gonna have the time here to go through it, but let's try to do it quickly. Zeh carbon Aaron uvanav asher yakiv l'Hashem biyom yimashachoso. This is the carbon of Aaron and his sons. Asris aifa soles. Flour, Joel, mincha, tamid. Machtitzah b'boka machtitzah b'erev. Al machavas b'Hashem t'esim b'berchus t'vien t'vinei minchas p'itim t'akri b'erech na'Hashem. Hakon ha'mashiach. Hakon ha'mashiach, the Kohen Gadol, tachtav mibanav yaseh osa chokol lom Hashem kol yil tatar. V'chol minchas Kohen kol t'yeh lo se'echel. Okay, this is a little controversial, what these psukim mean. Rav Hirsch understands that these psukim are referring to two carbon minchas. Joel, two flour offerings. One was the special carbon mincha that the Kohen Gadol would bring every single day. The Minchas Kohen Gadol, I think it's called the Minchas Chavitin. What's its official name? Right, there was a special carbon mincha that the Kohen Gadol would bring, half in the morning and half in the afternoon. That's a special, every single day, the Kohen Gadol. This was the Kohen Gadol's special flour offering they would bring, half in the morning, half in the, during the afternoon. But it also was referring to, the problem with that is, why does it say, Daber el Aaron, Zeh Karban Aaron Uvanav? Karban Aaron Uvanav is not something done by the Kohen Gadol. So that is a reference to the fact that any carbon, any Kohen, the first time he would come to the Beis HaMikdash would also bring an identical carbon mincha, which was identical to the carbon mincha brought during the days of Miluim, when everybody brought a carbon mincha to dedicate themselves to serve the first time. So it's two different carbon minchas that are referring to here. So let's see what he says. Basically, and I'll summarize just what he says in all the last paragraphs. You'll have to really do it for homework. But he basically says that the idea here is that every time a new Kohen would come to serve, he would recall the first sacrifice that was brought to dedicate himself. And the idea here is just simply that the Kohen has to remember that he's a role model for the people, and he would take... Again, this mincha symbolized the stuff that the Kohen would get from the Karbanos, but the first thing that he would do with stuff that he would get from the Karbanos, he had to take that and dedicate it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had to bring a carbon from flour, which symbolized stuff that the Kohanim all his future karbanos, he was going to get these flour offerings. He would get when people would bring minchas along with their karbanos, the kohanim would get to eat them. But the first one, he had to take and dedicate it to and actually bring it as a karban. And the Kohen Gadol had to do this every day. The Kohen Hedyo just had to do this as his first karban that he ever brought. Before he could serve, he had to bring this karban mincha as well. So let's just try to read a little bit of it. I'm not going to really be able to do it. Let's just maybe start with I'll do it really quickly. I just don't know where to start from. Look at the fourth line. V'nikba mitzvah l'doros. Kol kohenim k'nisaso la'avoda. Yirmos bo l'maisa ha'makori sh'amilum. K'v'yachol yachzol mechadash. Ofyani adavar. Dafka ha'yisronos ha'chomri makshum l'kohuna. Hema boim li to bidu karban zeh. B'terem yikareis ha'kohen la'avoda. Ya'ala osam l'rech nichoach. V'ha'kohen ha'gadol does it every day. Kach yeda ha'kohen v'yosha l'vavo. Alo l'shamish b'kuna k'day liskos b'yisronos ha'kshurim ba. Don't be a Kohen to benefit yourself. And he says, every Jew is supposed to take all of his possessions and dedicate them to Hashem. So that's what the idea here is, that a Jew cannot have any joy in life if he doesn't take his material possessions and dedicate them to Hashem. And that's what the Kohen Gadol was supposed to symbolize each and every day. And that's what we're supposed to learn also. And Rav Soloveitchik thought that's why at the Seder, the Parsha of Bikurim was so important. Because the Seder night, when you're sitting with your family and you have your elaborate table, beautiful table in front of you, and you're taking all these foods and using the foods to serve Hashem, the matzah, the marah, the idea is that a person is seeing his whole family, where it's like a Sudas Hoda, where we're taking all this food and dedicating it to Hashem. We're having a spiritual meal to elevate all of our foods. Rav Kook talks about this idea the whole time, the whole idea of Shulchan Orich, a meal that's part of the Seder, dedicating it. A person's supposed to take all of his material possessions and realize that he's never going to have any joy out of his physical possessions in life unless he takes those materials and dedicates them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's one of the big themes of the Seder. And that's what Rav Hirsch sees an allusion. You're going to have to read it by yourself over Shabbos, but Rav Hirsch sees an allusion to the Minchas, Kohen Gadol, and the Mincha that the Kohen brought at the very beginning of his service to serve Hashem. So I want to wish everybody a Chag Kosher v'Sameach. There will be no Parsha Shir this coming Friday, but there will be the following Friday after that, the Friday after Pesach. We'll see you again. I want to wish everyone a Chag Kosher v'Sameach, a joyous Chag, enjoy the family, and hopefully we could rededicate ourselves to that chirus, to the national service that's exemplified by the Karban Pesach. We only have 9 people here, so we can't say kaddish. Have a great Yontif.
Shabbos, Rabbi.